neither is Germany of today. Has America and West Germany joined into one stick, or have they not? Are we not placing our big stick with the missiles right in their backyard, and they're pushing and pulling for us? Not a total reality, but it's working forward too, yes. But we shall never compromise or join with a non-Christian nation. So don't let anyone, if I say, we're off television, I'm not afraid to say it there, that I would do more harm than I would good. But we have to do it. We have to be wiser than the serpent. The reason we are where we are, the reason God has chosen us to give us this voice, and this is your chance for input into those things, is that we use wisdom, and we do it boldly. There's a difference in being stupid and being bold, but wise. You've got to do it God's way. There is no other way. So what I'm saying is, that would be like the beast that had the feet of clay and iron. That's communism and Christianity. Clay and iron won't gel. They will not solidify. Communism and Christianity will not solidify today. So we will never join as one stick with Israel's lie. Okay? Yes. There is nothing new under the sun. Yes, it is mentioned in God's word. All over it. It's the house of Israel in part. It makes up its part of Ephraim and Manasseh in part. God is not a liar when he said that Israel would become as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. He's not going to let it drop in the river. Well, it takes. I wish there was a formula that I could say, well, you can tell this way or that. This would be an oversimplification. I'll risk it, all right? Anytime you're reading about Israel, you're reading about, in part, us. I'm talking about true Israel, okay? Now, when you're, there are more specifics, prophetically speaking, of the great power that we would become. If you're reading of us in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 9, we are the city with the unwalled village. If you go to Jerusalem today, what do you see? I spent some time in North Korea. Let's go among the Mongolians, just south of where the Kenites actually become a reality. Every court, you know, they had a little trick they played there, and I don't want to get off on these war stories again. It's playing the piano wire. I had just a little bit. They have fences just about as high as I am, you know, right here where, you know, I could peek over if I really tiptoed. Not that it was looking for goose, not what you meant. There was no one sunbathing. I don't want anyone to draw any wrong conclusions. But they take a little piece of wood or a rock or a stone or anything and tie a piece of piano wire in between and throw a little loop in, see. And then at night, they can reach over those fences, and they like to get it right where my necktie goes here, and they, for some reason, they try to cut off your breathing. Well, so much for that. No war stories today. But they were fenced, is what I'm saying, okay? They were fenced. And maybe I better go a little bit further than that, or you all might think I've flipped out, all right? That's the way they kill people. See, it's real quiet at night. You know, if they would catch Marines going down through there, guards, they're just on patrol. And they could kill you without firing a shot, being spotted. Here I go. See, one thing leads to another. They also had a habit of stretching this little stuff across roads in our American Jeeps. You know, you've seen the men sit up in them and put the along. Anytime with the windshield pushed forward, 1 million don't have a head and have an O. Okay, that's why in Korea you got to see in Jeeps with little pipes welded on the front bumper that went up above the Marines had. It was to cut those wires. I got to get back to the subject. I'm sorry. I've even lost my... Yes, ma'am. I believe it is a literal number. I really do believe that. I believe there will be millions of people saved of the ethnos through salvation, but they're not Israelites. There will only be that many of Israel marked. That doesn't mean all of Israel is going to be saved. This is for a specific duty. It has nothing to do with eternal. Well, there is a connection in Ezekiel chapter 44 as far as their rewards are concerned. But this is really better said and better understood, the collecting of the Levitical priesthood. Now, the 7,000 mentioned in Romans chapter 11 and those that assisted Elijah are 7,000 of the seven eyes that two witnesses shall come from, are the 7,000 are the very elect, and they are separate from that 144,000. They are the priesthood of the Zadok. When I say Zadok in the Hebrew tongue, it means the just, the upright, the elect. That's why in Ezekiel chapter 44, it states that those Zadok will have no inheritance in Israel. God says, I am their inheritance. Now, if you can get a hold of that, that's it. Yes, sir. No, it will not. The geographical location of the temple will not change. I know a lot of people, a little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. That's like, Jerusalem, look right in the middle of a big USA. Well, now, it is true that the people that were centered in that area are here now. But in the 16th chapter of Ezekiel, God made an eternal covenant with that geographical area, not the people. This is a separate covenant. And he said, I love you, that you're my favorite spot, just like I have a favorite spot down Staten Island. Boy, that's my baby. And he's going to have it. That's our home. But it's going to be changed considerably. Okay? Now, Paul. No. The sword mentioned in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel, of course, is God's sword, but there's also another sword. And that sword that is mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 38 is Esau's sword mentioned in the book of Genesis, where he sold this birthright. He owned this legitimately at one time. And he sold it bigger. And he's, well, I'm a sorry top. I really blew it. He said, what can you do for me? He said, well, you will be a great nation. You will live by the sword, but you're going to die by the sword. The entire book, 38th chapter, rather, in the 39th, which is more or less a 38 is to take a picture, and 39 zooms in. God tells you how he's going to do it, but he's talking about the same thing. It's a battle between Russia and us. It has nothing to do with something that is prior, even to this time. That chapter will last 15 minutes, maybe, if they're lucky. But Russia is that nation that lives by the sword and dies by the sword. What does Edom mean? It means red. What color is their flag? What's on their flag? They got a big sickle, which in a way is a sword, and a laborer's sword, and a hammer to club the rest of them. So, I just thought I'd throw that in, Paul. But really, 38 has nothing to do with Vietnam. Vietnam was those rumors of wars prior to that, okay? Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, I saw a hand over here, and I thought it was you. Son, go ahead. The word demon, Okay, I think maybe you mean the sixth chapter, because see, Revelation doesn't have 26, so I'm going to guess that you were in the sixth chapter, okay? Because that does speak of, you must have had demon come up, you sure it was the book of Revelation? I'm trying to think where demon comes up in chapter 6. I don't believe it does. It speaks of Antichrist and horsemen again. But I'm sorry that, let me just tell you about demons, okay? And we'll just let it go at that, and you can take it up with me private later, okay? I don't want to draw attention to the question any more than that at the moment. But we'll go into it. I'll go into it real deep with you, all right? The 16th chapter. Three frogs. That's the 9th chapter. Oh, 6th chapter, you see? All right. Okay, well, this won't change the fact of demonology anyway, okay? It comes from a Greek word. Demon simply means evil spirit, all right? That's all it means. Don't ever let someone picture you as a demon being something that jumps out of the dark and scares you or anything like that. Number one, you always have power over them, so never be anxious about demons. There really, in the Hebrew manuscripts, there's no such word as demon. It's evil spirit. And God himself even has sent evil spirits upon men that he chose to maneuver here, there, or yon, you see. But I want you to make a special note and remember Luke chapter 10, okay? Luke chapter 10, and start reading at verse 18. And Jesus tells you there, he says, I saw old Satan himself, not just one of his little demons, but the head honcho, all right, fall on the earth. That's right here where we are. This is, I don't want you to worry or fret, for I'll give you power over all your enemies and all these evil spirits, which means demons, all right? Just the evil spirits.
That's the 16 and 14th chapter down in the footnotes. It says devil, demon.
Right. Yeah. It is, I have a tape titled, Demon. I make a gift to you, son, okay? You see this, Martha, see that he gets that tape on demons. I appreciate your question. That was a good question. That'll help you with it, okay? All right. Yes, ma'am. Okay, first of all, we have to know, when we say Jews, in the Greek it is Iudas, okay? So we're either talking about residents of Jerusalem, or we're talking about sons of Judah. And I assure you there are not 9 million sons of Judah in New York. Now, if we want to call them what they are, Kenites, there's about 9 million of them. But they are not. Never give them the privilege. They want you, the Kenites want you to call them Jews in English, because that gives them kinship to Judah, which they don't possess. So you are helping them foster the lie that they are part of Judah, and they're not. They're lying. There are basically two types of Jews, and New York is rich with both of them, both the Ashkenaz and the Sephardic. They're both just chubbed in there. But they are Kenites, okay, sons of Cain. Now, a lot of people, you cannot trace in God's Word in Hebrew or English or any other language the Jews to who they really are, because it either has to be Judah, or it's got to be a resident of Jerusalem. I'm speaking as a linguist now, okay? Therefore, you have to trace them by their name. It's just like, if my name is Murray. Now, if I'm going to trace my genealogy, I can't go over to Brother Pike here and start tracing his and find out where I came from. Jews, when you state it, is of true Judah, or of Jerusalem. It has nothing to do with Kenites. They simply tried it. Also, they have spent billions of dollars brainwashing our people that any time that anyone speaks against this name, Jews, all right, that you're immediately to turn them off. Now, and they enjoy that. But step around that, step aside, let them spend the $8 billion. Call them what they are, Kenai. But there are both types there, and they work overtime. They weave that web. As a matter of fact, communism was espoused right from that city, the first revolution. Okay? Yes, absolutely. Of course, don't take your eyes off Jerusalem. That's their headquarters now, okay, where they have set up. So, and he states that that geographical location will be it. Now, this doesn't take away from the fact that they are supported there monetarily and controlled. But, yes, absolutely, they are a part of it. But it does not matter what nation or city they're in. Their loyalty is to false Zionism, okay, in large part. Jay? Yes. Huh? Oh, right. I called on the water wire service, right? They were upset about it. They make those poor people keep changing that passion play. And this was in Germany, not at Eureka Springs. But they make them just keep changing it until they're milking it down to nothing. I was agreeing with you totally. I want you to know that. But be very careful of terminology, because they love it. And unfortunately, most of our people fall into that trap. And and I don't want to sound like I'm harping on it, but you see, they know who they are. And when you call them Kenai, if you want to see, if you ever seen an old earthworm when he comes out of the cool and the hot sun hissing, they really start wiggling. When you call them a Kenai, they get uncomfortable quick. Because, see, you sidestep all of their brainwashing. Yes, ma'am. You will find it recorded, and I stated the scripture on one of the programs. First Chronicles, chapter 2, verse 55, where Kenai slipped on to, you'll note, it's giving chronologically Judah's family genealogy, all right? But tagged onto it, it said these are the scribes he put to work for him, not of Judah. The Kenites, sons of Cain. There's one thing our people have never liked to do, and I'm just as guilty as the rest of you. I don't like to keep books. I don't like to keep records. I don't like to write things down. I don't like to keep up with things, you know. That's our nature. Maybe God placed that nature there, maybe he did not. So way back, and you trace that and amplify it all the way back to Chronicles, they started doing the penmanship and later were called the Nethinim. That's your, they were servants right in the temple. They inserted it. You'll find also the word Jewry. Jewry is a lie as far as being even a word. It is coined and used four times instead of Judah. I believe it's Judah three times, and I'm calling from memory. Or Judea, which is saying basically the same thing. You're talking about a family and then the geographical location of that family. They inserted it, they coined it to use later. Now there is nothing, if you will look at it as a linguist, in most cases it's used it won't give you any problems. But you got to remember what the word means. It means a citizen of the city Jerusalem, all right, or of the tribe of Judah. Now, in Greek, you can legitimately do that. But what are we going to say that we say an inhabitant of Gravette, Arkansas? Well, what do we have? That can be anybody. It's the same way with being a city of a citizen of Jerusalem. That can be anybody. But the truth lies in Jeremiah. It's at 35 where God told him to bring his son into the temple. Key 9. 35, right? In Jeremiah 35, God himself said, Jeremiah, go out and bring me some of those Kenites in the temple. He said, I want to prove a point. And Jeremiah went out. And here's where you got to watch God's word. But he picked up Jeremiah. But it wasn't Jeremiah the prophet. It was a Jeremiah named, a Kenite named Jeremiah. And God did that to tell you, watch the names I'm giving you. All right. Watch the people. And they said, we are of our father, Jehonadab, which, you know, if most Christians could read Hebrew right there, the bristles would go up on your neck. You know what Jehonadab means in the Hebrew tongue? Greater than Yahweh. Hey, that's a pretty big handle, you know. But that's what this Kenite claims to be, see. And it said, we were chased, we were vagabonds, our father, you know, told us not to carry seed or to plant, you know, which means from the garden, you know, they were not to till the soil because it would be a curse to them. And they said, now we have moved to Jerusalem for safety. They became Jews right there. Because in the Septuagint, this is Yehuda, or Jews. And they stole it. And through that, they stole the entire birthright. And that's why that you should always call them or trace them. Pick up a strong concordance will take you right back to the garden by tracing Kenites. You won't find it by using Jews because it's a fictitious name. It's wrong for me to say it's a fictitious name. I retract that. It's a real name. But know the true meaning of the word. Eudas in the Greek, all right? An inhabitant of Jerusalem, which could be anybody. And most often Kenites. Or it could be the tribe of Judah. Okay, I feel like I didn't make that real clear, but I hope I helped you some in it. In part, some of them did, but they were, those that came out, they made them put away their strange wives, though, and then they formed the great synagogue, and then they did it all over again. But they're not, it's still, you have both Judah and Benjamin came out of the captivity, okay, and returned to Jerusalem. And the great synagogue was formed there, and that's where we get the Bible, so to speak. Ezra and Nehemiah put together the word. They also put together what is known as the Masorah, which very few people are familiar with. It's a word in the Hebrew tongue that means to pass a thought from my mind to the next generation without change. Okay? But this is where a lot of these Nethinim, which is, I have to use the word because that's what they are, all right? The Kenites moved in among the Levitical priesthood, which, along with Judah and Benjamin, actually they had to have their portion of Levites for priests. They went back to Jerusalem. But really it had true Judah and the Kenites did not mix really any more than any other tribe. And I know that's a point I cannot document for you other than the fact that a Kenite won't mix with them. Unless they want to call it an illegitimate child. That is to say, through their Talmud, it is to spread their race into as many as can as illegitimate, as we would term in the English, so that they can think on them later and use them, utilize them as what they call a manzar, and we have a word for that that's akin to a file we use here, and I use that because of that's what it means in Hebrew. It means mixed breed. Okay. But the Kenites, I assure you that Judah would probably be happy to mix with them, but the old Kenites, they won't mix. They know that their blood is so thin anyway that if they protect it pretty well, because Satan's seed must carry out his work, which is the negative part of God's plan. But true Judah did not return to Jerusalem. There was only like 42,000 or 43,000 of them. The rest of them were inhabitants of Jerusalem, which mainly, I'm going to go into history just a little bit, and I apologize for making this such a long answer, was made up from the Khazars after that, okay? Khazars, their king is called what? Kagan. Well, what is king's name in Hebrew? Kagan. So the Khazars' own king is called King Cain. It's real easy to trace through history. For some of you scholars, I want to assert. The Khazar Kagan was K-A-G-E-N. Cain in the Hebrew is spelled in English as K-A-J-I-N. But you see, with the vowels between the G and the J, there's no difference. It's still the same thing. Okay? Really, there was only 43. They're just a bunch of fakes, basically. That's true Judah today is your Germanic people. Okay? Anyone else? Oh, I'm sorry. You can lay it on.
You know, the Christian or anybody else, nobody, don't get a hold of the town. In fact, it is an insanity for a so-called Jew to teach anybody out of the town. Because it's so offensive to Christ, he's gone all gone. So anyone that would read that, they have no doubt about their ideas, their content, their desires, and their religion. All they have to take another one in the box, a month or so, to show you the power they have in the press, TV, the radio. About a month ago, a great Christian patriotic woman died. Her name was Oprah White.
Did she pass away?
Yeah, she was really great.
I missed that.
And most everybody is. What I'm trying to say, the press covered it up. There was absolutely nothing on the TV, the radio, or the common tells the world and all these papers about it. But she was really great. Patriotic and Christian. She missed a lot. But now, if a movie actor or actress had died, the radio, the press, the TV would carry it on for 2 or 3 weeks about how late. That's the power they have. That's why the people who look at the TV, the radio, and even read the newspapers need to be alert and not be led astray.
That's very true. This Tanner, she was a friend of mine. I had not heard that myself, but of course, since Gerald K. passed away, which he and I were not close friends, but we were friends. He was years and years and years ago, Dr. Gillespie, who I studied under for a time, was with him. And I was the last time I talked to him before he passed away, she was there. The three of us had quite a conversation. But since both Smiths are now gone, we don't get any news from that circle. I don't know what has taken it over. I'm not saying it's bad. I don't know. I just, we're busier here than we can check out. But it is strange because usually that would have been passed, through the very circle.
She was the secretary.
Yes. Many of you have seen that woman if you've seen the Passion play at Eureka Springs, just that you probably didn't recognize her. She's in the ticket office there with, kind of managed it there in the beginning, early days, for a long time. She was really a nice lady, hardworking lady. In God's work, I mean. Yeah.
Well, I know that people everywhere have trouble understanding who to choose from. Something always becomes a little hard to get in their town. But I like to think of it this way. Judah is a family blood family. And so are the rest of the tribe. So, you know, when they all belong to the larger family, this is my blood.
Yeah.
And Judy is made up, on the other hand, of people. First of all, it's a religious and political organization. And they're made up of people from all the nations of the world, including China, including perhaps the Jewish Judah, you know, maybe a few of the other tribes, but it's our few, I think, as well. But they are by no means a blood family. And so when you think of Jewry, you've got to think of them as people who have adopted a certain political and religious philosophy and who are recognized, therefore, as being what's commonly called Jews. And I think one more point. And I by no means are all of the Jews seen as society. There are many who are simply ethnic, that's right.
We can't say a large part. No, they're very strict on mixing racially. I know he will tell you that religiously they grasp the hand now. You will see in the governments of many nations, let's say that you will see a terminology throws me, I can't say it, forgive me, Kenite, Ethiopian. They do not claim, they'll say, well, there they are and they're of our people, but they don't claim them. A manfire is one of the greatest disgraces in the world. That's a half-breed. They will not, in their religious circle. I'm talking about the inner circle now, all right? As far as the learned elders are concerned, no. And you know what they're doing right now? Boy, they're praying for other reporters to come in and say, they're going to assassinate the whole bunch of them. They tell you they claim it, but they don't. Well, why, ever since the old pots and pans peddler came through, the Talmud, I don't want to be too graphic here, taught them to impregnate anyone they could in any race to utilize those children, see, at a later time to control the masses. But just like using an animal, they didn't claim them into the inner circle. Okay, they are very strict. They are the only people. I'm really overstating this. There was the Gypsy. I'm going to say that they are the only people that have really stringently held to a pure race. Of any race of people in this world. They teach it, believe it, and that's why that you can rest assured. Now, as I say, these Nanzar, there are untold millions of them, but they don't claim them as the inner circle, like that is to say the learned elders, okay? You bet. They call themselves Jews. And then you have a few that even through religion call that. The main number one thing is do not be caught in the trap of teaching Bible, calling anybody a Jew. Be a little wiser than that. I don't like it. I read it if it comes up in the scriptures, but I explain what it means when I come to it. Or you'll fall into the trap and you will lose your credibility. And you do a lot more damage to Satan's children by calling them the sons of Cain that they are. That hurts them. You know what happens? The multitudes on the other end of these big eyes here are saying, Cainites, that's interesting, sons of Cain. Well, sure enough, when you teach them a little bit about reading Hebrew, well, there they are. Well, how do you tell the difference? Then he says that the Cainites have slipped in unawares among Judah. Well, then that means Jews. Okay, so that means there's a difference between Kenites and Jews or Judah. And invariably, within 2 months, this letter comes, I want more tape, but how do I tell the difference between a Kenite and a Jew? And we have a standard form that says anyone that is non-Christian is highly suspect. Send it back. Okay? So, and that's the way, you know, that you handle it. And pretty soon they say, ah, I got it. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was a hybrid. And this is for one of the reasons, if I were to go into it deeper, this is why that they protect their race so much. They are very limited. A hybrid cannot reproduce on a large scale. Usually only one at the most. And that's one child, I mean. Such as a mule, I didn't really want to go into this. A mule cannot reproduce. So this is why they have to protect it. It's for a very logical reason. And yes. And that is why that you must, that's why it's important that you call them what they are. Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, he mixed. He took up the land of Nod. Which, where is the land of Nod? Who did he mix with? Very simple. If you're in Hebrew, it's not in English. But you see, all these things are easily documented in the manuscripts. It's just that, you know, people don't usually read the manuscripts. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 18, it states that God took from the sea the mineral, made a living creature, and gave it a soul. Right, there's a whale. Oh, you mean to tell me there's a whale out here who's got a soul? No, he simply said, I took from the sea the minerals and I made a living being and gave it a soul to the Oriental people. And if you take a world book, this is no deep subject. Take the world book, encyclopedia, dictionary, and look up Kenite. And you know what it'll tell you? A man in the Middle East, a tribe that settled in the Middle East near Mongolia. And that's why they have the caste, all right, that they do, because that's not. They were not. There were many races created on the earth, but in chapter 1, Adam was not created until the eighth day. A different man. Therefore, you have many other people other than, you know, Cain and his offspring, and the people of Nod, if we want to call them that. Okay. The Chinese have a saying. They hate the Japanese. They don't even claim them as human. They said that a monkey stole a Chinese princess and went off to the island and went here, and that's why you've got Japanese people. So they teach that for real. Okay. Of course, they smile about it, but. Okay, anyone else? Okay, well, I love y'all. Remember this. God's commission, great commission, and he's in time, is to seal his servant in the forehead. Use wisdom, and he's in time. We could care very little about what the Kenite does in this world as long as it's what God said it would. And that we are wise enough that we can go right into their camp, into their own devised tool, and have the victory. That's why Jesus said, be wiser than a serpent, but be as peaceful as a dove. What does that mean? That means you be smarter than Satan. You got his plan. Satan can't create anything new other than what God has written down. We can. We can counter. But what about this dove business? Am I saying, that old boy's a pacifist? I can see that. Right now, he's a pacifist, and he's saying we don't No, we don't hurt anybody. No, you fail to know the dove. Anytime Christ used an animal or an insect or a plant, he was saying a lot more than is written. Have you ever tried to bother a dove's nest, which is to say home? Ounce for ounce and feather for feather, she's the meanest little critter God ever created. Now, I tell you to be peaceful, but I would warn you, don't ever come around my house after dark. For this old Marine, there would be a 45, you know, sticking out every window. You know, I realize I've got people in here that haven't studied with me. I'm kidding, all right? I'm not afraid. But what I mean is protect your home. That's what it means. Don't let somebody come in and molest your wife and daughters or a woman, your husband. You have the right to protect your nest. That's your home. Now, don't be stupid in that. Always, if you hear someone breaking in your home, I don't know how I got into this, but I did, didn't I? If you hear someone breaking into your home, go to a light switch. Now, it could be your long-lost brother-in-law that you've been trying to get rid of for 30 years. That's drove in the night, and he wants to mooch a meal the next day, so he's sleeping in to sleep on the couch, you know, while you're asleep. Always go to the light. Have a sawed-off shotgun. No, that's illegal. Or whatever. A shotgun is a good weapon at night. To absolutely stop someone, it or a 45, because the projectile is strong enough that if you hit him anywhere, he's going to roll. Go to a light. Don't fire until he or she is inside. Flip the light on. It startles whoever it is. They throw their hands up. It catches them off guard. And if you know them, smile and say, "Hi, surprise." And if you don't, and they have a weapon in their hand that they can take advantage of your family, I don't have to tell you what to do. The Father wants to meet them personally. So send them home. Okay. Protect your home. Hey, don't let someone molest your family when you have the hammer. All right. That's what I'm saying. And God doesn't expect it, okay? This whole business of changing, just turning cheeks, that's not what he was talking about. Okay, I probably have said way too much, but we have strangers in this building I've never met or anything else. If I have created or offended, please ask me to explain further in private, because never offend anyone. Show the love of Christ, but protect your family. That's your responsibility. So please understand what I say and keep it within that context. I love y'all. Y'all be good to each other. Let's all stand, and I'm going to ask Gary to come over and dismiss us. Be good to our people. Be kind to them. They don't understand what's going on. You do. So love them, and everyone have just a real good one. God bless.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We pray, Lord, that we can just reflect some of that love to our families, to the people we come in contact. Lord, we rejoice in the young people in this family. We thank you for them, Father, and we pray that you touch their minds and show them the deception that's teaching the word, Lord. We praise you for them again, Lord. You are the family, Father. We love you and we accept your love. Through this, Lord, we pray for those that are sick. Just reach down and touch them, anoint them with the Spirit. Father, we pray that we're walking exactly as you have us to walk. Yahshua's name, Lord, we pray, and we give you all the praise for things that's happening. Amen.